much happening at this time of the year. I know you all do as well. And we are really grateful every time you come and celebrate on Sundays with us. We are super grateful when you come and just give your time and energy to the Lord, because we know that's expressing your heart. So thanks for joining us today. If you are a man that has been away at camp, we love hearing the stories from last weekend with all the men that were away. And we're going to hear more, aren't we, Keith? Yes. Would you like to join with me? I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. I just love the buzz of your people, and I love the buzz of your spirit amongst us. And as we come now and just we focus on just another part of fellowship together through the word, we just thank you that you're here, you're teaching, you're leading, and you're strengthening us through your word. So Lord, open our ears and our hearts to hear what you have to say. And Holy Spirit, come, be amongst us. Amen. I'm going to just start with inviting Vera up. Let's celebrate Vera coming up the front. Vera Hardiman. Yeah, that's a good celebration. Vera Hardiman. Yeah, here she comes. Vera has had an incredible victory and breakthrough story happen for her, and she's just wanting to share that with us as we start.
Yes, I'm going to keep it short, but anyway, what happened was I was diagnosed with Parkinson's 5 years ago, but along with Parkinson's came this nasty thing called dystonia, which the doctors didn't understand and couldn't be medicated. With Parkinson's, at least you can take pills, but dystonia, it's not easy to medicate. So the symptom, and it's interesting that Joe talked about breaking chains, was like there were chains around my legs which people would that were being pulled. And this went on, yeah, for years, and it would get worse if I was excited about anything or nervous or whatever. It was just totally unpredictable and really horrendous, and you couldn't just pop a pill. And anyway, so many of you have prayed for me, and I had a session, a couple of Zozo sessions with Susanna, and on Monday after a Zozo session, I had a complete breakthrough and the chains were broken, and I didn't want to say anything until it'd been a week or so, but it's been a week now, and it's great. So thank you to everyone. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Isn't he good? It's amazing. And these breakthrough moments are going to happen more and more. And did you hear in that story how there were so many people involved over many, many moments of prayer? And then the breakthrough came. Thank you, Vera, just for allowing us to celebrate with you. And thank you to everyone that's part of the story of breakthroughs for others next to you and others in our community. Sometimes it's not a moment, other times it comes in a moment, and other times it comes over a number of times praying. So keep faithfully praying for each other, because Jesus is always doing something. We have had some big news this week from our office, haven't we, with Helen writing a big story about what God's been doing with her. Stand up, Helen. Helen's our administration assistant. Yeah. And God is on the move in Helen's life in a very special way, so much so that she's actually going to be taking up something really new and exciting next year. And she's written a beautiful piece in our e-letter about that. She's happy just to be celebrated today, and we'll hear more about it in the new year. But we're so excited for you, Helen. So excited. And we will miss you in the office. Right? Yeah. So all that to say, as Helen's following God into a new experience, if you haven't heard, go and grab an e-letter and hear about that. It's really, really exciting what he's doing with her and her husband, Robert. But we want you to pray with us now. We're not going to move quickly with what that means for next year, but pray with us that God has the right people and team for this new season that he has in us. Sounds like I'm crying. I'm not crying, but I will be. It's actually just a crackle in the throat, Helen. It's okay. But yeah, please pray with us. We invite you to pray with us. We're people who pray and see answers. And so we're just believing that God's going to do something really amazing. Do we have any answers yet? No, because we're just releasing this news now, but he does. Okay, so pray with us well with what that's going to look like. And next week we get to celebrate Rob Sterner's retirement. Stand up, Rob. Yeah. There. Oh my gosh. Faithful, faithful people. And we are looking forward to celebrating you next week. Okay. And in-house stuff is finished. If you're visiting, we have some staff movement going on. So it's a good place to be because where there's movement, there's usually something God's doing. So let's put up the first slide. We've been in the middle of generosity, joy, and today we're going to be focusing on celebration. And I can tell it's the right day to preach this because there's a lot of celebration going on in the room. Like God is already releasing that. So the first slide you'll see here, you'll see this because we started off the Festival of Giving with this slide saying, oh, it's amazing, we're going to see some people adopting a family and finding some needs. And we've had some life groups, even yesterday, that have been meeting and with sponsored people that have come and celebrated gifts of generosity from you guys and from life groups. Even yesterday, there was a family that received $495 from you all. And they also received a celebration of Christmas is going to look different for you. We've also seen community gifts started to roll in and we're storing those and there's still one more week opportunity for that. And we're looking forward to the team being able to give that out to people in need. We also put the challenge out, find the poor. Can you find people that are in need, that need God's love at this time? And you guys have all been so active with that. It's been wonderful to see some of those things that God's been leading you into. And we're learning to love the ones that Jesus loves. And those people might be sitting right next to us, or they might be in our street, or they might be in a supermarket. We're learning to love the ones that Jesus loves. And that doesn't require a crowd. It requires a community. And that's what we're seeing God do. Not only are we seeing that we're loving, but we're bringing them into community. And so that's a really big piece that we're doing with Festival of Giving. And we're getting people to understand what it feels like to be seen and to be known and what it feels like to be loved. Second slide, we threw out the challenge. Is there something that you want to make or something that you would like to create to benefit others? And we've seen, and there'll be some more news of that in Festival of Giving for next week, we've seen people making lots of stuff and benefiting others through their gifts. So it's been really fun to watch the creativity there. We've seen hampers, we've seen the mainly music team that have been working with the mums and the kids in Lilydale on Wednesday mornings, and they're about to give some gifts out there too. Shh, don't tell them, it's coming. And so that'll be on behalf of the Heart of Jesus as well. And we've seen also a kids project that just erupted. And for the last few weeks, there's been people busily behind the scenes making something creative that we are all going to enjoy on the 22nd. It's going to be amazing. More on that later. The community gifts, again, we've got one more opportunity for that next week. And then sell something. This has been really interesting. I did not know what God would do with that. But we've seen some people that have said, I've got stuff in storage, I don't need it. And so they've been bringing it or giving it away. Here's a picture of one thing. Next slide, thank you. A barbecue. Someone won this at Bunnings. Yeah, they won it. And then they realized they actually didn't need it. And so they have something they want to give away. And they've given us a week to say, if you know a family that's in need that would like a four-burner barbecue, they would love to deliver it on behalf of Jesus, but also on our behalf, because they don't want to keep it out on their deck anymore. And so we've got a week as well of, if you know someone, please ring me at the office or email me immediately or see me today. Otherwise, we're going to go to another community that could use it and give it through maybe Christmas gifts, or we might even go to Holy Fools or something like that and say, do you need a barbecue? So this is going to enter into community somehow. We're very excited. So that's Sharon and Ken Tromp. They are ready to deliver it to a need. How fun's that, right? A barbecue. Who would have thought? All right, and so the last slide here, just on our process and where we've been. So last week, Rob Carter did an awesome service on Generosity Ignites Joy. If you haven't heard it, go and have a listen to the podcast, because it's part of what's happening. Generosity, as we are open-handed and releasing things that God puts in our heart, joy is stirring, and then we celebrate. And so today I'm going to be talking about what does celebration look like out of the heart of generosity? And what does joy ignited look like when we're celebrating? Because we have lots to celebrate, don't we? We have lots to celebrate. And if you look at that, we've got Sunday the 22nd, which we've already talked about, and we're going to have all sorts of things happening here, but we're also going to do Christmas Eve. So two opportunities to celebrate together. Celebration is this joyful spirit of festivity. It's central to everything that we do in our life and with God. And it also flows from obedience with God. So in Ecclesiastes, there's the great verse that a lot of people will read. It's maybe the only verse people might read. There is a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. As Isaiah 55 tells us, to go out with joy and be led forth in praise. And if I was to describe today, that's what I was seeing. You were going out with joy, breaking beyond our normal. And I really liked that. You'll go out with joy and be led forth in peace. So November and December, I've noticed your lives are very busy. I've noticed there's been lots of graduations, there's been lots of celebrations, there's been lots of parties. We're in a season of celebration, aren't we, in our culture? But I've also noticed that in our fast-paced world, there's almost like celebration fatigue. Are we over yet? Have we got through all these celebrations? Because there's so many that you are all involved in. And I just want to address that what if we as Christians have become fatigued of celebrating? Because there's so many celebrations that we're invited to around Christmas time. See, celebrations were built into our life and into our life with God. And do you remember we had that video where we were talking about God being our host, and he's a generous host, and he is so generous that there always will be enough. Do you remember that video that we watched? And we looked at that and saw that a good host actually allows you to focus on the celebration without having to worry about whether there's enough. And if we're worried about is there enough, it's because we might have a lie telling us there's scarcity and that there's struggle. And that's not God's world. He's a good host. There is enough, and he can be trusted to have enough for us. And so as we trust that expression of Jesus being the generous host and Jesus being our provider and our Father providing all that we need, we get to celebrate in a very unique way. And it will be distinct in our community, even though there's lots of celebrations going on. Our celebrations will look different, because it's a generous host that's igniting that. Now, a lot of people are saying, but we can't have just celebrations because there's also a lot of pain around Christmas. There's also, for some people, it's a very tender time where you recognize that there's some gaps. There's some things missing that you would like to see filled. And so we don't ignore those times. We just invite people to gather around the pain. And we invite Jesus to come and meet us, even in our suffering, because he knows it well and he knows how to meet us in our needs. So if you know someone that's being invited into celebration but it's almost too hard for them, think of another way of celebrating with them that's going to meet them in their needs, because God will give you that answer. So we're not going to be a people that just moves on to the next thing. We're actually going to mark the December 22nd date as our celebration. And we've been having an approach with generosity because we wanted to approach Christmas differently this year. I hope that you've got that in our kind of message. That's what we're doing. We're approaching Christmas differently. And part of the reason is because God has commanded us to celebrate, and we don't want to miss that moment. We want to notice that Christmas is actually something that is distinctly for us to celebrate about Jesus, about his goodness that we sang about, and about his provision. And if you think about the holy days that God instructed his people to celebrate, those holy days interrupted normal time, right? And then the people of God then were invited to give their lives in a special and unique way every time there was a holy day. And that has happened forever. Since God created man, there's been moments of celebration, moments of celebrating the goodness of God and the closeness of God. But you have to interrupt your daily time and your ordinary time to notice that and observe them and be filled with joy that God's giving us strength to be able to do that. So when we worship like we did this morning together in song, it's really important that we do that weekly. We do that in many ways daily, but when we come together, it's different, isn't it? Today it was like exploding out of some of us because we recognized that there was a spirit of celebration here, that actually that's what the Lord's wanting for us, to break out of ourselves with his praise. Nehemiah, when he was busy at work building the wall, he says in Nehemiah 8:10, they took moments to celebrate the good work that they were doing. And he says, go and enjoy choice food, sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Right? That's the kind of celebration in the midst of busyness that God's people are called to, and we get to celebrate in different ways. So did you know that we started, as a team of leaders, we started talking about Christmas and how we were going to celebrate in August? We've been ticking away, thinking about different ways to do this, and we've invited you to come now and be a part of that. There's a really, really fun little book. It's a children's book, and it's called I'm in Charge of Celebrations. I'm in Charge of Celebrations. And it's about this girl in the desert, and she's on her own. And people are saying to her, are you lonely? Must be terribly lonely being on your own in the desert. And she says, no, I'm in charge of celebrations. So every day she found something to celebrate, and she created celebrations for herself. And it filled her spirit, but it also spoke to others that heard about her story. I'm in charge of celebrations. Let's all say that together. I'm in charge of celebrations. What would that look like? What would it look like if every time we come together, or every time we're just moving amongst our friends and family, and something pops up and you get that line that we just said, I'm in charge of celebrations. That's the authority that you have. You get to celebrate and create that because of the way that God's designed us. So there's a very clever bloke called Dallas Willard. He's a theologian. And he says that when we engage in celebration and we enjoy ourselves and our life and our world, and we do that in conjunction with faith and confidence in God's greatness and in his beauty and in his goodness, we all of a sudden concentrate our life and our world on God's work as if it's a gift to us. Can you see the theme? The generosity of God flows through us when we stop and notice our world and our life in conjunction with our life with God actually brings wonder and beauty in a way that no one else can, because we're actually allowing the generous, faithful God who's given us life to create through you. You're in charge of celebrations. And to a degree, we are in charge of celebrations. And I've often heard people say Christmas has been stolen from us. Have you ever heard someone say that? What if we're in charge of celebrations and we get to bring a distinct thing for this year just here as a bit of an experiment? What's it going to look like for us? So when Rob Carter last week said, generosity is ignited and then so too is joy, it's going to look joyful, isn't it? It's going to look amazing. And Jesus brings our joy. Let's have a look in Luke 2. Because we're talking about Christmas, I'm just going to frame some of this up about some themes that we see that comes through Luke about joy and about generosity and about celebration. Actually, let's start at Luke 1. Before we go there, when we worship, did you know that's a reaction and a response to the arrival of the king and the kingdom? One part of our worship is actually we're responding to something that's arrived through Jesus. So the idea of worship often is not just song, even though that's part of it, but there's bowing down, there's surrender as well. So there's all sorts of expression and reactions and responses that happen as part of our worship towards God. But in essence, it's a reaction to the kingdom arriving. Sound like Christmas? So if we're unpacking what Luke is talking about, in Luke's book and in Acts, it's really important because there's so much of the New Testament written by Luke, and he is trying to tell us that the kingdom of God that comes through Jesus and then in Acts through the Holy Spirit, there's a language of response all the way through how he writes. People react in certain ways when the king comes. So if you're looking at Luke chapter 1, we're going to see the word amazed comes up a lot in Luke. They were amazed. We're also going to see song, a very big part of the reaction and response to God coming and arriving. The song of salvation will be filled with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Joy is also really part of the response. So his kindness and his generosity comes even in our pain. Let's have a look at Mary. Mary was walking through something that did not look joyful at the time because she was all of a sudden confronted with a joyful message that was also confusing, that she was going to carry Jesus, the king, into a world that was expecting a full-grown king. So let's have a look at the generous father, how he ignites joy for Mary and the celebration that comes in Luke 1. So Luke 1, starting at verse 41, at the sound of, she entered into the house and she was greeted by Elizabeth. And at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 42, Elizabeth gave a glad cry. What's that sound like? Joy. Gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? And when I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. Can you hear the language of response and joy that Luke's trying to tell us through his writing? You are so blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. Celebration is about to come. Let's have a look at how joy ignited is then celebrated. And you know this so well. It's Mary's song of praise in verse 46. Mary responded, listen to the celebration theme here. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. And she goes on and on with overflow of praise as she celebrates the goodness of God. Her circumstances haven't changed, but her overflow of celebration has. The Holy Spirit is upon her in a really special way. Turn over to Luke 2 on the next slide. And we'll see here again, the generous father ignites joy and celebration. And here Luke's telling us about the shepherds. These are all common stories that we've heard. But we're seeing that there's going to be something special that happens. And Luke wants us to know first that the shepherds are relevant to this story. Why did the announcement of Jesus' birth come to the shepherds? Luke was really concerned, and have a think about where we're at as a church. Luke was really concerned that the gospel of good news is for the poor. And he wanted the power of that fact to come, that the good news is announced to those who are outcasts, to those who are in the margins. He wanted them to be part of this story in the way that he was writing it. And so we see the shepherds are really important part of the story, just as those who are poor in our community are an important part of our story. So let's have a look at Luke 2, verse 9. Again, you've heard these words, but this time I want you to hear them through the filter of joy and celebration that comes through generosity. Verse 9 in Luke 2. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognise him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Let's look at the celebration that comes out of that joyful moment. Verse 12 in Luke 2. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, now how do we read this just in a flat way when they're praising God, a vast army? These are the words that they're saying: glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those who, to whom God is pleased. Can you imagine what that interruption of daily life must have been like with the celebration that was happening all around them? A story we're familiar with, but the generosity of the Father ignites joy and then celebration in ways that we've never seen before. Third thing that Luke wants us to see is when the wise men came. So let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, where the King Herod has had a meeting with the wise men. It was a private meeting, and he said, go and find the child, go and find the king. I want to worship him as well. Was he being legit? No. He was not wanting to worship. He was just trying to set them up. So let's have a look at the Father's generosity igniting joy with the wise men. Let's look at verse 9 in Matthew 2. After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. And it went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. Listen to the joy theme. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. What's the celebration? Let's read in verse 11. They entered the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of, everyone, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They opened their treasure chest. Generosity starts. Joy gets ignited, celebration happens, gifts get given. This is what we're in. This is the big story that we're in, and we get now to live it in our day, right now. This language of response is really important. It brings pleasure to the Father who's generous and hosting us. So you can think about the ministry of Jesus then. That theme of joy is all the way through there. That theme of amazement and reaction is all the way there. Think about the paralytic that was healed, and then people were amazed and they start to praise God. Read through Luke and Acts and you'll see that that's happening. This language of response is all the way through. So celebration's important to God. He actually really loves it. You have permission to enjoy what he enjoys. In fact, another very clever guy, Richard Foster, that wrote a book called The Celebration of Discipline, good book, he says that the benefit of celebration saves us from taking ourselves too seriously. Saves us. And that we desperately need it, he says. And he says that of all people, we should be the most free, the most alive, the most flag-waving. Oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't there. The most free, the most alive. What we saw today, we didn't take ourselves seriously. We were here to honour God, and the victory dance happened. And we're going to see more expressions of response. That we would just be going, that's awesome. We celebrate with you. We celebrate the victory. We celebrate Vera's victory. We celebrate Rob's retirement. We celebrate Helen's new direction. We're people that will celebrate because it's the generosity of the Father bringing joy. So the joy theme is very much where Rob started us, and the celebration theme is also really important. We're just going to have a look at some practical ways. But before I move on to that, I just want you to take a moment and have a think. If this is our generous Father, and he's created this moment of the first Christmas with his son, can you imagine how joyous he must have felt in that moment? Have you thought about how his heart was by giving his son to us in that way? He is the most joyous being in the whole universe. So have you ever thought about that? Have you thought about the abundance of his love and generosity, inseparable from the joy that he was experiencing in that moment? He had angels singing. He turned it all on to celebrate the arrival, to ignite the joy that was to come through Jesus. So in a culture who says happy holidays, and that's all we're allowed to say, right? Happy holidays. What if we celebrate this next holiday in a way that's going to be stamping that we are learning and new ways to celebrate? Here's a couple of things to think about. Celebrating well the holidays of our culture is part of who we are, because we're in a culture that celebrates holidays. Yay for Australia. But can we be thoughtful about the holidays that we're celebrating? So when we come to Christmas, we plan activities that are going to be meaningful. We plan preparation that's going to be meaningful. We've been doing that this year through the Festival of Giving. It's just been a name, but it's actually been for our hearts, to prepare us, to prepare him room for us. And as we go into the new year, we're going to be on the lookout for opportunities to celebrate lots of different things. Birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day this time, this year, we took time to make it meaningful. Do you remember Father's Day? We had all the blokes at the back with prophetic encouragement. We had all sorts of things that we're adding to help celebrate well with Father's Day. And we just loved celebrating who our fathers are. So we are giving permission for you to be in charge of celebrations. You bring celebration with who you are as well. And it demonstrates to us the arrival of the King and the joy that's in your heart. And the early church had all sorts of rhythms, all sorts of ordinary time and preparation for that and celebration. And they learnt that. They even put it on the calendar around celebrations, right? We have a calendar and we look forward to our holidays. What if we have a calendar also in our heart that's celebrating the things that God's doing in a really meaningful way as we gather together? So find a new way to enter into these seasons of preparation. We think about it with Advent. We think about Easter and Lent. There might be other celebration that God highlights for you to celebrate. Prepare for it. The Americans and their Thanksgiving, how good is that, right? They prepare, they all fly together and they celebrate a really amazing cultural thing that creates Thanksgiving for every family, right, Adam? Best holiday ever, Adam's telling us. So we want to be a part of that as well. We want to say if there's a Thanksgiving holiday that's going to be for us, let's mark it or let's join in with the Americans with their good idea, right? But you have to prepare for it. You can't just turn up and say, oh, look, there's a turkey on the table uncooked, right? There's a lot of preparation that goes into those days to make it worthwhile and meaningful. And it usually involves everyone bringing something to the table. It's very rare, I'd imagine, with Thanksgiving that there's just someone sitting on the couch waiting for it all to be served. I hope it's very rare. We are building up our muscle for generosity so that it's going to be something that we're strong at and will be known at and we're practicing. So we'll be known for people as people who are full of generosity and joy. We will choose to celebrate everything and invite others in to join us. And we will celebrate even when it's a sunny day in the middle of a very cold week. Yes, I'm really glad that that's, I'm celebrating. We'll celebrate tastes of new cuisine that you might have. We'll celebrate all the things that are part of our world that make us feel alive. We'll celebrate it. We'll have a party for the last day of school. But we'll also have a party when there's a clean bill of health and someone's just finished their chemotherapy. We'll celebrate when there's graduations, but we'll also celebrate when someone's just found Jesus or where someone's just found something new in Jesus. We will celebrate engagements of couples, but we'll also celebrate the fact that someone's finding a new relationship in Jesus, or just in life, that they're coming alive. And we'll celebrate all these things. We have our standard, amazing, traditional celebrations, but we'll also take time to notice the things that God's highlighting that we can celebrate. Here's one thing. Make a big deal of firsts. We do it with our kids, right? Our kids, the first tooth, the first day at school, you know, all those things we list off, we celebrate the firsts. What if we celebrate the firsts when someone in our workplace has a creative idea? We don't just let it drop to the ground. We celebrate that that's an idea that we want to pick up and run with. So many times we let things drop to the floor which should be celebrated. Maybe you're eating dinner at your table with your family and something happened. It was the first time that something happened for one of your family members. Celebrate with them if it's a first. Celebrate no matter what age. Not just the kids. Celebrate the kids, but also Christmas. God celebrated a first in a magnificent way. He wants us to celebrate firsts. Look at how he celebrated his son's arrival. Look at how he celebrated his son's ministry. Anything that happens as a first, let's give thanks to God because you are in charge of celebrations. And celebrate creativity. So when I was telling you earlier that we have a kids project that was started, at the start of the year, a thought came and I asked Dee Kalock, stand up Dee. Yeah. So notice preparation at the start of the year. I said, oh, it'd be great to do something Christmas, didn't I? Yes, she says yes, I'm not lying. Okay. So Dee then started just to think about it and then forgot about it, went through. And when did the idea come back to you? September? So September she got this idea of doing a kids project and we're going to see it in 2 weeks, right? 22nd. So Dee gathered a team and they are now, Gabe's in the room. Who else is in the room? Yeah, Gabe. Kim and... and Beth, Beth's over with the kids. And Tyson, where's Tyson? Tyson's over there, is he? Some of them are with the kids. A new team came out of creativity and we're going to see something we've never seen before. And it's going to be awesome. I saw a sneak peek. Gabe, is it going to be good? Yes. So thank you, Dee. Thank you, Gabe. And thank you for the rest of the team. We are going to celebrate a first of this kids project about the nativity. And this, we are going to celebrate creativity. We're going to celebrate things that come in and through you because that's going to be part of God doing that. We are in charge of our celebrations. Have you ever been in a situation where it feels like there's lots of gaps and things don't feel that strong? Sometimes it feels a bit like that as a community, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I wish the wall was just built a bit higher and looked a bit more stronger. But the gaps are there as opportunities for us to bring your peace. So don't be afraid if there are gaps. Don't be afraid if there's going to be some gaps in our administration for a little while we have retirement and Helen going off and doing some other stuff. Those gaps are going to bring pieces to the wall that's going to strengthen us as they move into the things that God's doing. So that's happening all across the place as a community. You get to fill some of those gaps as we bring our celebration because you are also in charge of celebrations. So be the joyful people that God has got you going everywhere. Be the joyful people of God everywhere you go is what I meant to say. Be the joyful people of God everywhere you go. We're the people who are going to practice and learn and discover new ways of celebrating. And we're a people who are going to look to Jesus to inspire that celebration. And we're people of joy, and that's allowable, and we're allowed to see that in all extravagant ways. And we're people who, if we're suffering, can still be in this space because suffering leads to joy being our strength. That's what Jesus, that's how he led us, right? And so you have a place here, even if you're in a painful time. We're not expecting everyone just to turn your frown upside down. That's not what we're saying. We're saying you'll find strength in community, even if there's painful moments for you. We're going to continue, as the word says, to practice hospitality and be generous hosts like our Father. And we're going to practice generosity, and we're going to practice joy, and we're going to practice celebrating. And so our Sundays are going to look different this time next year. Our Sundays are going to look different. It's going to be amazing. We're not looking just for gestures of generosity. We're looking to build a kingdom home, a home that generosity can live and flow through. And a little bit of that is pioneering. For example, we have the Christmas gift bags, right? And we have a team that will be giving those out in the week of the 16th. We are also going to invite all those people, because we've set it up so that we can invite those people to come and celebrate with us during the year in different ways. Not here, we'll go to them. We'll bring the party to them. So 2020, our hope is that it's not just that they get Christmas gifts, but we also then get to build a community for them should they want to join it. And so we're going to offer that community that are receiving Christmas gifts some other invitations during the year. As a church, we've got permission to do that. We've got invitation to do that. And I think we're just the right people to do that. So I heard, for example, that you did Christmas in July once, right? We could do another Christmas in July and invite all those people that we've already given a gesture of goodwill towards. Say, come and celebrate with us. We're doing Christmas mid-year as well. Or right now, God might start to stir in you another way, because you're in charge of celebrations. All right? And so we're going to look for opportunities. I would love to think that we could even, at the start of the year, do a backpack thing. Give backpacks to families in schools that can't afford it. You know, just that we continue to reach out and celebrate new starts. And some kids, it's not celebrating if they haven't got the right tools to learn. So there's all sorts of things that you will come up with that will be much smarter than me and much more clever. And my job is to say, God, is this now or is this in a year? And like Dee, conversations might start at the start of the year, and by the end of the year, we've got something happening. So be patient in the process. Final thing up on the slide. What's our posture as we go into this next thing? I've just pulled this off as an end off a website called Infinitum. Have I got it up there? No. And it's a daily practice of how to posture yourself to be prepared to walk into the world and be a person that will definitely show the heart of Father. So the first thing is surrender. And they do this daily prayer by putting their hands up. Surrender. I can't do that with it. Can you someone show me? Yep. Hands up high. Just show me that you get the idea. Yep. Surrender. So they do that, and then they will pray something. And then the second thing is hands open for generosity. And then the third thing is hands forward for mission. So as we finish today, we're going to read this through together, starting with the generosity posture and doing our hands if you would like to join us. And then we're going to pause at the end and see what the Holy Spirit is awakening for you. Because Holy Spirit is here with you and for you, strengthening you and igniting you. And so at the end of these three prayers, we're just going to wait on him and see what he wants to do next. Okay? So I think we might do this with hands up, and I'll read it and you can repeat it if that's okay, because it's good to hear. Good to hear our voices together. So hands up. Surrender. Repeat after me. Here we go. I choose to hold my hand up as a symbol of surrender. My life is not about me. I surrender to your lordship. I surrender my preferences, my prejudices, and position to you. I surrender my fears. I surrender my finances. I surrender my friends. I surrender my family to you. And it's moved to generosity, hands open. I choose to hold my hands out open as a symbol of generosity. What I have is not mine. I am only a steward of all that you have given me. I want to mirror the way you have opened your hand to us and lavished your love and life upon us. I want to live an open-handed life in a closed fist culture. And mission hands forward. I choose to I choose to hold my hands forward as a symbol of mission. I want to live for something greater than me. I want to embrace your kingdom mission. I want to embrace and welcome your mission to the lost, last, least, and lonely, to the poor, powerless, privileged, and persecuted. Amen. We wait on you, Lord. We wait on you, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Some people are responding by standing just to get in a different posture. That's good. That's fine. Come, Holy Spirit. He wants to meet with us in a new way. So right now, I just have the impression that some of our spirit inside us is enlarging. It's, if you can use your imagination, it's like a balloon is blowing up inside you that's full of the breath of God. And for some of you, you'll feel that physically, and some of you, you will see it imaginatively, and others of you will just receive, oh yeah, something's going on here, and that's the Spirit of God igniting something in you that's new and fresh. And it will feel like an expansive place inside of you. That's the victory. That's the thing that's been happening all this morning. It's getting bigger inside of you. His kingdom is getting bigger inside of you. And some of you, I feel like there's something landing on your shoulders that's going to be recognizable as God's presence. And it's going to refresh you right now because he's here to refresh you. And it's like he's coming through his Spirit to rest on you right now. And so it might feel not like a light thing. It might feel like a heavy thing. Like if you go to the dentist and there's a lead thing that they put on your chest when you have x-rays, it's that weight, you know, of the Spirit. And that's because he's wanting to be really close at this time for you. So just receive that if that's you, if you're feeling that resting as well as the expanding. We just welcome you, Holy Spirit. And some others, he's rewriting the script for Christmas. I can actually see his hands is actually rewriting what your Christmas experiences have been like in the past. And he's saying, it's going to be a new chapter. And he's really excited to write that with you. It's like a whole new page is turned for you. And he's writing a new thing with you, for you, alongside you. Cool. So what we're going to do now is that Simon's just confirming what he's also feeling the Lord's doing in the room, that that there's a lot of rewriting going on in terms of lies and identity as well, for some of us that need to just know the truth. And that's going to start to happen as we sing together and as the music starts. But there's also just a spirit of prophecy here, and I can see that starting to stir in some of you. And so we're going to finish with going and giving some encouragement to people, stepping out and going and praying over them or just blessing them with encouragement, because that is also part of joyful celebration. So we're going to finish with a song at the end, but before we do, I just want you to stand with me if you can. And then let's ignite this prophetic spirit that's amongst us, that's proclaiming the good news. And I just want you to turn to someone that you haven't spoken to today. Just go and encourage them with a word, and then we'll finish with a song, okay? So time now to step out and activate some of this joyful celebration through prophetic encouragement. Just something that you're feeling God saying to people. Wouldn't it be great for everyone to leave encouraged today with a word that's specifically from God? So give it a go. Let's do that.